C1G.
Number 11B.
Now, in studying the days of creation, we have come across various passages which show that it is actually so that in being, ideas have to be classified into categories. You remember the first indication we had at the point of soul as principle, where Mrs. Eddy explains that every idea has gender, and gender means kind or sort, so that we began to be introduced into the idea that every idea has to be classified into a classification to which it belongs, to its gender. Then we also had again in the fourth day principle as soul, where she was then showing from the point of view of principle that principle subdivides and radiates these ideas. So we not only have a categorization but also a subdividing of categories, classifying classifications within a category. She showed that there only in this way we have periods of progress, namely that every time we categorize and subcategorize ideas, we get a different structure, we get a different aspect of the whole, and therefore gives a restructuring sense of the whole. And in this way we have those indications that there must be a systematization of all the ideas of God. And we know now through all our studies over years and years that Mrs. Eddy has given us these categories and has pinpointed them very clearly by capitalizing the terms within a category, so that we have to do with the capitalized terms in the various categories. And we know what they are. They are fundamentally first the seven synonymous terms. And second, we saw the second category, which we have then in Apocalypse, namely the four sides of the holy city. Now, when we have those two great categories, the synonymous term and the modus operandi, the fourfold modus operandi, then, because being is one and not two separate categories, these two categories must blend. They must be interlocked in order to be one and not two separate things. So at the time that Mr. John Dawley saw this very clearly, he began to wonder how the seven and the four would interlock or blend. And he didn't find at that time a textual verification of what he had to think out in a spiritual scientific way. I say in a spiritual scientific way because what he did was to think constantly only along two categories. Namely, along the categories of the seven. I show it here. Along the category of the seven. Can you give a pencil, please? Thank you. I wonder if you can read it properly. See, here we have the category on the top level, Word, Christ, Christianity, Science. Yes? The second, and now the second category is what is in the synonymous term in the word order. what are the sin owners term it, the Christ order here, and the further category, what are the sin owners term in the Christianity order, and then in the science order. But as you look at them, you say, well, they do not exactly correspond with the order that Mrs. Eddy gives. Well, Mrs. Eddy only gives in the definition of God the word order, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, or then the Christ order on page 115, principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, and the Christianity order in the glossary, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, and then seen from the middle shaft, we could see the science order. Well, that's just the background for something what I want to show in the days of creation. Now, he could see that if he takes the word order and sees that the holy city said, well, each side of the holy city has three doors, therefore each side of the holy city through those three doors can reflect all the other sides, so that each side of the holy city, like the word of God, is actually not just word, because it must reflect the whole. Everything must always reflect the whole. So the word must reflect the word, and the word here must reflect the Christ, and the word must reflect Christianity, and the word must reflect science. So he was thinking out what that meant. If the word was reflecting the word, how he could epitomize that through the second category, the synonymous terms. What the word as the Christ meant, if we like to illustrate it through the synonymous terms. And so with word as Christianity and word as science. And doing that and thinking it over, and took him quite a long time to think it over, he finally found this so-called matrix. This is usually called John Dolly's matrix, and he saw that, and I must pinpoint that, at the time was round about 1943-44, round about that time, and it took him quite a long time, because he would write to me, I was in Switzerland at that time, and he would write to me what he was thinking about it and was giving me his results. And after a few months he would write to me again, and he had already changed again these values, and again, until he had round about when he published Pure Science of Christian Science. By the way, all this is in the book of the Pure Science of Christian Science by John Dolly, or even better, explained in Peggy Brooks' book on John Dolly. There she explains this matrix also. If you want to know how John Dolly and Peggy arrived at what they were saying, perhaps you take up the summer school I gave once here in America on matrices. I gave a whole week's class on matrices, and in that class I very slowly developed step by step how this matrix came into being, and showed it in a logical way, and not just stating it that it is so, not otherwise, but I was telling you the scientific reasoning that went on in order to arrive at this matrix. So in those tapes on the summer school, you get all the various matrices that we know today, and naturally the most fundamental one is this one. Now, this is only a prerequisite If you have understood it, that's fine. If you don't, if you haven't understood it, it doesn't matter a bit at this moment. I only want to show one thing, namely that at the time John Dolly conceived of this matrix, he, as I said, he had no textual authority in the textbook at that time. But when he was considering the days of creation much more closely, later on when he gave the talks on the Bible, 1947, and started out that time, he began to see suddenly that actually the days of creation would verify his findings on that word vertical. The word as Christ, the word as Christianity, and the word as science. How? And that's our subject for the moment. Therefore, you see, out of the matrix, the days of creation give you that which is here put into yellow. The word as the word, can you read it? It's mind, spirit, soul. And depicts really the first period in the development of the days of creation. But in order to show you that, we have to go back to the symbolism of the days of creation and just think a little bit about them. First of all, in what category can we put the 7 days of creation? See, there are 7 steps. What category do they symbolize? Well, a creative ability is actually the characteristic of the Word of God. Because all through the Bible and all through eternity, the Word of God was the creative Word. Just think about John, the Gospel of John, right at the beginning. He speaks about the Word as the Logos. At the beginning was the Word. And then he shows that the Word, that through the Word everything was made that was made, and nothing has been made but through the Word of God. So you can see the Logos is really that divine creative intelligence of the universe bringing into being God's own nature, or presenting to the world God's own nature in an ascending way, in a successive step-by-step presentation of the nature of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So, we have established one thing already, namely that now we can consider the 7 days of creation not only as we have been done yesterday through the 7 synonymous terms, but that we can also consider it from the point of view of that other category in being, from the category of the Word, of the creative Word. Now, we know from the symbolism of the Holy City that that first wall of the Holy City had 3 doors, that the Word as the Word also would be include the Word as, or that the Word would not only be the Word itself, Word as Word, but that it would also reflect the Christ, which is the Word as Christ, would also reflect somehow Christianity from the point of view of the Word, which is the Word as Christianity, and would reflect something of science from the point of view of Word, therefore Word as science. Do you know where we are? Huh? Yes. So we can go over the days of creation again, having only that category of the Word in view. Now, you remember that when we went through the days of creation, I said somewhere in soul, after soul a spirit, before we came to soul a soul, we said, here is something different. Here is some kind of a break that goes on. Something changes. And you remember that at the point of life as spirit, before it goes to life as soul, another break has taken place. And the further break we saw when we went through the sixth day of creation, at the point of truth as principle, coming to truth as life, we said, with truth as principle, something has come to a climax. Now, from truth as life onward, there is no more a creative activity, and therefore there is another break. Now, these three breaks are actually that, what you have here as the line here. Here's the second break, and here's the third break, making four different periods of progress. One period is Word as Word, the other Word as Christ, the other Word as Christianity, the other period is Word as Science. Can we see that through the biblical symbolism? This is now the great question. And now if we have an overall view of the days of creation with their subtones, we can easily see that the first period in that word is actually presenting the word, and only the word, namely only the innate nature of God as mind, spirit, and soul, to the point of soul as spirit. You have that indicated here in the study material, where we have word as word, and that runs from mind as mind in the first day to soul as spirit in the third day. And if one looks at that whole symbolism, you can't help feeling that it presents, so to say, primal creativity, namely those primal elements of God that must be there, the basis of creativity, without which actually no other creative ability is possible. Put it this way, what did he see in the first day? It was God said, let there be light. And we said, what is that light? Light stands for the creative intelligence of the universe. The second day also said, let there be a firmament. Let there therefore be understanding. Spirit imparts understanding. So that let there be intelligence is coupled with let there be understanding that can understand what mind creates. And the third day, we saw at the beginning of the third day, let there be dry land, let there be identity. And that had always the same rhythm, that God said, let this new idea, light, let this new idea, firmament, let this new idea, the dry earth, appear. And so it becomes really tangible to consciousness, the earth. So you have a primal creativity expressed there. And that is the word, that's the word. And therefore you can see, you have actually here in the word as the word, in the first box up there, you have mind, spirit, and soul. Mind, spirit, and soul. Then we said, there is suddenly a break. Because at the point of soul, you remember, it was said, and God said, let the earth bring forth something. And you see, up to this point, it was God that brought forth something, the light, the firmament, the dry land. Now suddenly, the accent changes and says that the earth can bring forth the grass and the herbs and the fruit trees, yielding fruit, etc., after their kind, and they have the seed within themselves. Suddenly, the idea has the seed within itself. Suddenly, the idea begins to manifest really God. And so, from that point on, we see a touch of the Christ come in. It is not the full sense of the Christ or the intrinsic sense of the Christ. It is actually only the Word as the Christ. So the accent still is on the Word, the accent still is on creation, let there be and let the earth bring forth. But can you see that suddenly the Christ touch comes in and says that if we conceive creatively of the true basis of mind, spirit, soul, that begins to be creative too. That begins to work in the universe. And that is the Christ. So, at that point, it is shown that the seed now is within itself, that there is now a translation taking place from God to idea, to the seed. And from that point on, over quite a while, you have the Word as the Christ, from soul as soul, to life as spirit. We have that tremendous sense of that God translates himself to the idea, and that the idea really begins to be creative. How is that shown? You remember in Soul as Soul, you had the herbs and the grass and the fruit trees yielding fruit after their kind that has the seed within itself. Can you see the activity of the Christ that always takes the whole and translates it to ideas? That's the Christ activity, that Christ translates God to man, that Christ translates the divine principle of creation right down to the idea, so that the idea shows forth what God is doing. So there in soul, we said it has the seed within itself. In principle, we could see the very same thing. That one light of the first day, becomes now, let there be lights, the plural. The light is translated into lights. Principle always translates itself to infinite ideas and shows itself forth in ideas. So in the whole fourth day of creation, we have those lights in the firmament, and they are categorized and subdivided and so on. Then we come to the fifth day, and at the beginning of the fifth day again we have that. Again, it's the waters that bring forth. It's no more God said, I create living things, I create the fish and the fowls. Now suddenly it is the translated sense that the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature and fowls. You have again now here the fullness of the idea. So that up to this point of life as soul, where it was said, life as mind, let the waters bring forth the fishes and the fowls that fly above the earth. Then life as spirit, you remember, it was said that all these ideas then gather qualities and are with spiritual qualities. They are the whales. You can see she speaks a lot there about the individualization, that every individuality will gather other qualities, but they are spiritual qualities. Can you see, it's all translating God to the point of creation, to the point of idea. Then, at that point, when it comes to life as... I just want to show now that coincides, as you see in the matrix, that in the Word as Christ, you really have what? You have again soul. Like in the Word as the Word. You see, the Word as the Word was mind, spirit, soul. But the next one takes up soul at a certain point. The Word as the Christ is soul, principle, life. That therefore the second part of the third day, where the earth brings forth all the things that has the seed within itself, then the fourth day to life, to the point of life as spirit, where the multitude, the individuality of the idea, and the fullness of the idea is being shown. Then you have a break. In the fifth day, when we come to life as soul, suddenly something new comes in. No more the translation of the whole to infinitely individualized ideas. From that point on, one gets a sense of Christianity. What is that sense of Christianity? It's a sense of multiplication and a sense of dominion. What is Christianity? Christianity is always at the point where we demonstrate the idea, where we have therefore dominion over the world, and that is the demonstration of the divine principle. So from that point on we will see, we get that idea of the world with a touch of Christianity. It's still the creative world, but now the world applied to the multiplication of the idea which gives us dominion. Well, we'll do that after a break.